recorded live right here in Little Rock, Arkansas. It's Larry's Rant, Raves, and Reviews. And now here's Larry.
Yes, we are back.
They're loud tonight.
Oh, yeah, always. We can depend on them, you know. We love it, folks. We are happy to be back in the studio, and here's what our plan is tonight. We're going to talk a lot about our local elections, but if you're not local, if you're not here in Central Arkansas, or if you're not here in Arkansas State, please hang in here with us, because we're going to share some views and some thoughts as we go through different things that we're voting on here in Arkansas, and we're going to cover a couple of things out of Texas. We're going to cover something out of the state of Missouri. So please listen in. And so we have a special guest, and the first segment is going to be all his, okay? Now, we've known this guest for just about 5 minutes. His name is Michael White, and he is running for state representative.
That's right. Yeah.
Say hey, Michael.
Hello, everyone.
All right, there we go. Hey, before we get into talking to you, next Monday, which is October the 21st, which actually this is going to air on the 23rd, so my bad, folks. We're recording tonight because of Michael's political schedule.
That's correct, yes.
And all.
Yeah, we're gracious enough to accommodate.
Well, thank you. So early voting starts, and you can start in any of the libraries. I normally go over to Rolling Road on Roosevelt Library, I believe it is. And so we'll be there voting. I'm going to go vote early. And then, of course, November 5th, you can vote. But early voting started on Monday the 21st, so we hope that you'll get out and vote.
Yes.
And so, Michael, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you.
He is running for state representative, and we're going to ask him to give us some of his views and let the voters hear what in the world he has to say.
Sure.
And why, you know, tell us a little bit about your occupation, your history, your background, what got you into politics.
Yeah.
You know, just, hey.
Yeah, sure.
Tell us all about yourself.
You know, you guys are both entrepreneurs, and that's kind of where my background is in. I was 21 years old, and I found out I had a baby on the way. And this is back in like the early 2000s, Louisiana, which back then, if you got a girl pregnant, you were marrying that girl and you were on your own. And so I had good folks, but they were like, look, you know, you're now a man, take care of your family that you have coming. So all of a sudden, I realized really quickly I needed to make some money, right? And I think that kind of formed my view that really all problems are economic problems, basically.
Right? Follow the money.
At the end of the day, right? And so I got involved, long story short, I got involved in the telecom industry. You know, worked for a carrier, moved up, and then I opened my own store in 2006. I was an Altel wireless dealer. You might remember Altel from Little Rock, Arkansas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For those who were outside of Arkansas, you might remember Altel Chad, that my circle, those commercials that used to run back in the day. And I grew that business across multiple states and sold it in 2016 and did really, really well. Cool. I mean, we had sales, really, really good sales. I mean, I think our best year was probably over $20 million in gross. Employed probably, I would venture to guess I probably employed over 1,000 people in my time in business, provided really good jobs. And that's kind of what I did. And so in 2016, when I sold my company, I sold it in September of 2016. I kind of semi-retired for a couple of years.
Okay.
And so built a cabin on the Upper Ouachita River here in, Arkansas. I've always been coming to Arkansas. I was 8 years old, and my mom and dad took me to Albert Pike Campground. Do y'all remember Albert Pike Campground? It's a day-use facility now. But sadly, there was a tragedy there. Many people were killed, I think, in a flood.
Maybe about
13 years ago.
Yes.
But I was 8 years old, and my mom and dad took me to Albert Pike Campground. And being a kid from Louisiana, I didn't know that water could be clear unless it came in a bottle like this, right? I didn't know that was a possibility. And so I just thought Arkansas was the coolest thing ever. My parents bought a cabin in Rich Mountain, Arkansas, outside of Mena, about 2001, something like that. And so we spent a ton of time in Arkansas. And again, another long story short is my wife and I had an opportunity in 2020 to move. She had finished up a project. She's involved in healthcare billing revenue side of things. And she had finished up a contract job. And she said, honey, I think I just want a normal job again. You know, I'm clocking in, clocking out would be good. You know the struggle of entrepreneurship and how it wears on you. You don't really ever have a day off. And I said, all right, well, get a normal job. That's what you want to do. And so UAMS called the first like day she applied. We didn't know how desperate they were for people.
Oh, yeah.
And so I said, honey, that's perfect. Because I kept telling her, you know, if we were going to move, we need to move to Arkansas. And so we moved here. And that's really kind of that in a nutshell. I have two children, Addie and Chloe. Addie's 20 years old. Chloe is 16 years old. Addie is brilliant. She's going to change the world. She's a chemistry major, 4.0 GPA. She finished high school 2 years early. So she is just now about to graduate with her undergraduate degree, and she wants to apply to the MD PhD program here at UAMS. And I think Chloe wants to be a dentist. You know, she said for a while she wanted to be a lawyer. And then she said, Dad, I found out a lot of lawyers don't make a lot of money. And I was like, well, that's not the most important thing. And, you know, she was like, well, yeah, but I want to make some, at least some money. I said, okay, well, honey, whatever you want to do. So that's what she wants to do now. But she'll probably go back to wanting to be a lawyer again because she's very idealized in her mind about things. You know, she wants to work for the Justice Project, you know, Innocence Project and things like that. So that's kind of me in a nutshell.
You did mute his mic when he said money's not the only thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll edit that.
It's, up there, it's definitely up there with air on the guy that had it there, right?
That just hit the floor. Okay, so you're in this race, and if I'm not mistaken, if I've done my research correctly, you were kind of the only candidate in this race, and then a Democrat came in a little bit later, right?
You got it opposite.
Opposite?
It's opposite, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So in about six months, June of 2023, a gentleman calls me, a friend of mine. He says, Michael, I ran for U.S. Congress in 2022, by the way. You can go on YouTube and look at my debate. I did that as a messaging race. I did not have any chance of winning, did not think I was going to win. And I really did that again to sort of message the principles of liberty. I felt that we had forgotten them as a nation. And if I could articulate them well to people, that I would. And so someone told me, hey, if you run, you'll be on the PBS debate on statewide television. I was like, well, sign me up.
Yeah.
And so that's what I did. And I apparently did a pretty good job.
Okay.
And so a gentleman called me in about June or July of 2023. And he said, Michael, you live in one of three or four battleground districts in the state of Arkansas. And what I mean by that for people at home is most districts in our state lean heavily one party or the other. You know, 80 points Republican, 80 points Democrat. You could run Christ himself as the alternate party candidate and they get 25-30% of the vote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have a handful of legislative districts where it's within 10 points of each other. And District 75, West Little Rock, where we're sitting right now, is one of those. And he said, you live in one of these battleground districts. If the Republican Party of Arkansas didn't run anybody, would you run in that race? And I said, well, I mean, if they didn't run anybody, I mean, yeah, but surely they're going to run somebody. I mean, again, it's a battleground district. It's held by a Democrat currently. Why would they not run anybody? And so lo and behold, that's exactly what happened. November 26th, I believe, was the filing deadline for the two major parties, Republicans and Democrats, if you were going to run in the primary. And my wife and I were checking the website every day at the end of the day. And the deadline hit, and it was unopposed. The Democrat incumbent was running with no opposition whatsoever.
Okay.
And I had worked on a ballot access bill that we got passed in the 23 session that allowed us to file, again, as a libertarian, after the primaries essentially were over and the filing deadlines were over for the major parties. And so that's what we did. So I filed in February. So there was about 3 months where the incumbent didn't think she had an opponent at all, which was interesting because I watched everything she did during those 3 months just to see, hey, how engaged are you when you don't think you need anybody's vote? And there wasn't a lot of to watch because she was completely MIA. Like she was just gone.
Okay.
I mean, you know, basically she posted like one thing about get out and vote for the primary candidates and maybe one, but she was just absolutely missing in action. And so I think March 7th is when she found out that she had an opponent.
Wow.
And, she came out the gate early on and said, you know, put out a post about, you know, I was an anti-government extremist. She called me that. And, that was the last thing she said about me. She totally ignored me after that. Cause somebody probably told her, hey, don't tell anybody about this guy. He has a compelling argument for why you should vote for him in a battleground district where he has a really good chance of winning. And so we need to make sure he gets no coverage from us whatsoever.
Hmm.
And so that's been the Democrat strategy with me is just act like I don't exist, black hole it. For instance, the Democrat Gazette publishes a printed voter guide. It recently came out Sunday. And they have never essentially ever failed to cover this race at all. They just didn't even cover it.
Hmm.
It just doesn't even exist in the voter guide. This is, I want to say 60% of Pulaski County's tax base lives in this district.
Wow.
how would you not cover that race?
Yeah.
Right? So again, I know how much newspaper ads cost. I don't know how much it costs to like just buy, like don't cover a district. And so that's how this happened. So yeah, it's a little backwards. She was unopposed and I jumped in after the Republican Party didn't run anybody. And okay. So, yeah, now it's a two-way race.
All right, so you're running on a Libertarian ticket,
right?
Let's say. Okay,
sure.
She's a Democrat. Mm-hmm. Now, I have always been a Republican.
Sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now I feel like Ronald Reagan. Okay. My party, I did not leave my party. My party left me.
Okay.
Here's kind of, and I will tell you, I normally do not speak on behalf of Randy on this show.
All right.
Right? I speak on myself and then let him, you know, jump in and say whatever he wants to say, you know, agree or disagree. But here's kind of how we look at it.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of look at it as the Republican become the moderates.
No, yeah, you're right.
And Libertarians are now the conservatives, the mm-hmm. old Republican stance.
Sure.
And Democrats move down a notch, and they just become the flaming liberal communist, okay?
Yeah. Communist, progressive, Marxist.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah.
So that's kind of how we look at it. So we don't want to treat you tonight like a, you know, if you've ever been through the Atlanta airport, you know, the big smoking room, you know, that everybody goes into smoke.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And remember Jeff Foxworthy, the comedian, he'd say, hey, let's go look at the smokers during our layover, but don't tap on the window, okay? Well, we don't want to treat you like that tonight.
Sure.
We'd like to know what a Libertarian is because, Randy, you said today at lunch, what'd you say?
I said, I don't know what one is.
Yeah, and he goes, I think I might be one. I'm not for sure.
Again, you know.
Help us out.
Was it political or is it religious?
There you go.
I think they kind of overlap, to be quite honest.
Okay.
I mean, we should, I believe, get our political views of how we believe we interact with each other in the structures of society. Really, those are foundational, I think, to where you value human life, what you believe the purpose of existence is. Why do you believe we're even here, right? So I tell people often that I'm a libertarian because it is the only political philosophy, in my view, that lines up with my religious philosophy. I'm a Christian, and part of being a Christian is I'm told to do things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm told to go heal the sick. I'm told to go feed the poor. I wasn't told, hey, go hire someone with a monopoly of force and violence and have them take stuff from other people and combine it in a bureaucratic nature and then spend it on things you think are good for them. Right?
Right.
And so that's kind of where I am. So, we talked briefly, but kind of pregame, what a libertarian was. And the best way I can say it again is it's somebody that believes in self-ownership.
Okay.
Somebody that believes that you own yourself. And I always say, I hope you would agree with that stance, because if you didn't, what you would be essentially asserting is somebody else has a greater claim to your life than you do.
Right.
Okay. And now we kind of have to play a game of what is a self? What is a Larry? What is a Randy? What is it about human existence that makes you an individual, right? Well, obviously, we know that we're biological creatures. We have a life. We breathe. We consume sustenance. You know, we exist the next second, and all of us want to exist the next second from this second, right? That's our life. And then as we live our life, because we have this right to life, we do things with our just labor to acquire things that make us more comfortable, make us more safe. We build our house, we get clothing, again, shelter, sustenance. That's our property. So your property is literally your life over time.
Okay.
And so it's an expression of yourself. And then if you don't have the liberty to direct those, you don't own either one of them.
Right.
Right? So if, and that's what it really is you have this triune self of life, property, and liberty. And again, I believe that you own those and I own mine. And if I own my stuff and you own yours, again, we have some ground rules that instantly get established. And I think that the number one is that you don't take by force other people's stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even if you think what you're going to spend it on is good for them.
Right.
Okay. So I tell people at the end of the day, it all boils down to really two basic principles. Don't hurt people. Don't take their stuff. If you believe in those things, things you should have learned in kindergarten, to be quite honest, you are likely a libertarian in some way, shape, or form. Now, again, we don't exist in a philosophy classroom. We don't exist in a Murray Rothbard essay. We exist in the real world where we have all these moral hazards and political structures that already exist around us. And so oftentimes, sort of applied libertarianism is a much different argument than what idealized libertarianism is. there's a number of things that maybe philosophically ideal that are just not possible or plausible in the current structure, right? I say all the time, they say that all dogs came from wolves, okay? Now, you have two, you know, really cute dogs, and I have a really cute dog, too. She's a 6-pound Bichon Shih Tzu mix. She doesn't look anything like a wolf, okay, right? And if I put her in the woods by herself, in a couple of days, she'd probably be dead, and maybe even less time than that, right? And I think that's kind of where we are as a society. We got a lot of Pomeranians running around, right? And so to treat everyone as a wolf instantly, I think, could be very dangerous for themselves and everybody else. And so I also believe in the concept of incrementalism, which is I personally believe that the government is too big. It's too involved in our daily life. It's involved, I mean, literally every way, shape, and form it's involved. And I think that we should slowly and incrementally find ways to get government out of our lives and take back some of our liberty and take back some of our self-direction. And of course, that horrible R word that people are scared of, responsibility. And again, I also believe, Larry and Randy, that liberty and virtue arise mutually. And what I mean by that is if you take either one of those away, you lose the other one. And I think the reason we don't have a lot of virtue in this society, why kind of everyone seems to think that things are going the wrong way, is because we've taken away the responsibility nature of society. Think about, for a second, a thought experiment. What was the Social Security before Social Security? Well, it was your children. As you got older and couldn't work, you would hope that your children took care of you. And we did this for thousands of years, right? So you kind of had a, there was an incentive to have children and to be good to them, right? Because one day they were going to take care of you. And so, you know, hey, now you've sort of disincentivized that behavior. It's not necessarily necessary. What was the incentive for couples to raise children together? Well, there was economic stability, there was household stability, there was safety, there was a number of things that sort of came with that, right? You know, since 1964, we've fought this war on poverty, spent $25 trillion, and in many ways maybe have incentivized, you know, single-parent households. It's no coincidence that they've risen.
Absolutely, we
right?
have.
And so I think that oftentimes in the pursuit of what we think might be good, what I call the progressive compassion, we see an ill out there and we go, that's horrible, and it is horrible. We see someone starving, someone sick, whatever it is. We all have, I think, an innate nature to want to help them, right? I think sometimes the way that we organize that help may have worse unintended consequences than the actual benefit of what we've produced. And so that's a long way of saying that that's what a libertarian is. If you believe in everything that I've said, or 85 to 90% of it, you're probably a libertarian in some way, shape, or form. Now, you talked about you felt the Republican Party had left you. I was 19 when the Twin Towers fell. I was living in Bossier City, Louisiana. And if you remember that day, all the flights were grounded, right?
Right.
And so I learned about it in my biology class at college because there was no social media. I didn't have a TV. I didn't have cable. And I walked into the class at like 9 a.m. and the professor said, if you haven't heard, planes have flown into the towers in New York and we think we're under attack. Everyone's free to go. And so we all went to the student union and watched the footage. And I worked at a pizza restaurant at the time. And so I had a lunch shift and I went there. Nobody's out getting pizza. Everybody's, you know, huddled in their houses, doors locked, right? Glued to the television. And so our boss was like, hey, y'all go home. Nobody's going to be here. And we're standing outside in the back of the restaurant, you know, all kind of talking about, you know, the apocalypse that's currently going on. And we hear planes coming. And we're like, oh my God, what do you mean? There's not supposed to be planes in the air. It was Air Force One. George W. Bush was flying to Barksdale Air Force Base in Bossier City, Louisiana.
Okay, I remember that.
It was Air Force One with like, you know, in my mind now, I feel like it was like six F-16s on each side. It probably was one or two. I don't remember. But I know one thing that's crystallized in my mind. My buddy and I decided we were going to drive up to the Air Force Base. I don't know what we thought was going to happen. I don't know, like, they were going to let us in and like shake the president's hand or something like that. But we turned onto the kind of the highway where there's a gate to the Air Force and the base. And there was like Humvees, sandbag emplacements, and literal tanks from like Fort Humbug were on the road. And there was this real show of force. And it was, again, this very crystallized moment in my life where I realized how quickly the world could change and how quickly that show of force can exist. And I think that somewhere deep down subconsciously, I think that I begin to question, you know, what that force is capable of doing and who wields it. And you know, I was told growing up that the Republican Party was a party of fiscal conservancy, right?
Right.
And a real part of that is, hey, you spend what you got. And we start running these massive deficits. They begin right around this era. And, you know, I was my generation that was being shipped off to Iraq and Afghanistan. And we're all kind of going, but, you know, they really weren't really involved, but we're kind of told they're involved. That didn't make a lot of sense. And so I think, too, like, I probably would have grown into a Republican, you know, by my mid-20s.
Right.
Had the Republican Party probably not left its basically core principles. Now, what that might look like in the modern era, who knows? But, yeah, I mean, your opener about feeling disenfranchised from your current party, there's a lot of that both Republicans and Democrats. I've knocked on 3,000 doors so far in this district. I've talked to tons of voters. And I can tell you there's a lot of people, too, on the left, you know, left of center, that we might call classical liberals, sort of the 90s-era Democrat, who, if you get them talking to you and they're honest, and they'll be honest with me because I'm not a member of either one of the major parties. So again, right. I kind of feel like it's a priest confessional. They can, like, tell me what they really think. And they're like, you know, I just don't like Donald Trump. I'm not going to vote for him. But, you know, my party's really kind of going the wrong way, right? And I'm like, well, what are they doing? You know, like, well, they used to be against the corporations. Now they're all for the corporations. And it used to be about, you know, standing up for the little guy. Now it's all about backing up the big guy. And 10% to the big guy, by the way. I think we're required to say that. And so there's a lot of that, that political angst where it feels like in this form of government, where we're supposed to have the government working for us, it's clearly not. It's clearly working for somebody else. And so that sort of universal thing that you share and I share and Randy probably shares, again, you share it with a lot more people than you think you do.
Well, folks, right before we go to a commercial, here's what I'm going to say. Whether you like Donald Trump or not, you're not voting for a pastor. You're voting for the leader of America. Mm-hmm. It's a clear, decisive vote. We will either be the strong country that we once had, or we're going to go further in to communism. So if you're not voting for Trump, I'm just going to tell you, I'm not asking for your vote, so I'll just put it on out there, okay? But if you're not voting for Trump, you're voting for communism. We'll see you after the commercial.
When your event is catered by Bobby's Country Cooking, it's like coming home to eat. And Bobby's makes it easy. 224-9500 for the best home-style catering available with desserts to die for. The food you love for your next gathering. Bobby's Country Cooking, Little Rock.
Okay, folks, we're back, and we are going to wrap up with Michael. However, he's staying on for the whole show, and we are really having a good time. Here's what I would tell you is you need to go to Michael White's website and read all about him. He's got some wonderful things. I can give you just a couple of bullet points, if you will. I've got so many things I'd like to talk to him about, but time's sake, it doesn't fit into the program.
We'll have to come back, yeah.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. I was just getting ready to say, but we can have you back. The very first thing that he says his top priority is that he's going to read the bills.
Yeah.
You know, he's not like, and it says right here on
You're going to read them?
Yeah, I'm going to read
the whole thing.
And if they haven't been read, then I'm going to tell people not to vote them. I know that's crazy.
It's an automatic no, he says, on his website.
But you would think that, like, surely that this is not something that happens. And it happens all the time.
So we're never going to see you look into a mirror like Nancy Pelosi, or into a camera and say, Nancy Pelosi,
we got to pass
the bill to figure out what
is
in it.
And then read it.
Yeah, then we'll read it.
I think that, again, government, this use of force and coercion that government has, and we have to remember that it is this monopoly on force.
Yeah.
You know, part of firearm safety is knowing what your backstop is. There's these rules of firearms.
Right.
Making sure, you know, treat it like it's loaded. You have to be very responsible with it.
Right.
I can't think of anything more reckless than passing legislation that you do have no idea what it says.
Right.
That to me, I mean, that's crazy. Right. You know, and again, it happens all the time.
The only thing that is crazier is the fact that she said it, and we let her get by with it, and California is just dumb enough to put her back in office. Good grief. Okay, well, anyway. Here's one. He wants to operate with integrity and transparency. He says he'll do a daily Facebook live briefing. Here's what I tell you. You ought to put that on X, and I think you ought to have a podcast because we want to see you on video.
Sounds
okay?
good.
Yeah. Is that fair enough?
Fair enough to me, yeah.
I will tell you he wants to restore representation government, and here's something that I'll repeat myself from one of our podcasts, Randy. A friend of mine told me, quit calling these politicians, and I hate to call you that, but I will. Quit calling them leaders because they're not leaders, they're representatives.
That's true, yes.
And that's what you're getting at right here is you're going to start representing we the people.
That's right, yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
Politicians do stuff all the time and then they seal all the documents and hide it from us. And then they get the lobbyist kickbacks and all the money and stuff. And I'm just sick and tired of it. You know, I got to tell you, I've never seen a tax that I like.
Same.
And there is one day of the month that I hate the world and everyone in it, and that is the day that I have to sit down and start shelling out all the tax dollars to the government that I've collected at my restaurant, okay? I come out of my office, sit down to watch TV with my wife, and say, today's the day.
Today's the day.
She didn't even ask what it is.
Today's the day.
She knows the day,
today's
okay?
The day. Yep.
We heard him talk about self-sufficiency, self-reliance. So far, I guess I've got to say that maybe I have turned into a libertarian.
I may have too.
I guess I did.
That's the mission.
I guess I didn't know
That's
it. Okay.
Yeah.
So here's what we're going to do, folks. We're going to continue on, and what we've done is do a lot of homework. Now I'm going to start using the word "I" because I'd never want to speak on behalf of Randy. He has every right to disagree. And all. And so we promised one another when we started this. So what we're going to do is on the voter's guide, I went through and downloaded it off the internet. And I started drilling down. I mean, I started looking at people's social medias, their websites, Wikipedia, Googling the heck out of them, trying to figure out what are these people all about. Here is, and so we're going to go through the state of Arkansas, and here's Central Arkansas, and we're going to give you the issues and the people, and I'm going to tell you who I'm going to vote for, but please remember, our podcast is not designed for Randy and I to think for you. We're leading you into thinking for yourself, okay? So I've done my homework. Here's what I can tell you. I'm walking into the voting booth. It'll go click, 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 and it's done, okay? First one that I'm going to talk to you about is the Arkansas Treasurer's Office, okay?
Very interesting race. Very interesting.
You know, John Thurston is the one that holds the office right now. Michael, how do you pronounce his
name? Dr. Michael Pacow.
Pacow, okay. Now, he's also a libertarian.
He is.
I think you said that you know him well.
I do.
And everything. And I've got to be honest with you, coming on the podcast, I was leaning towards him in this race, and probably with a offline conversation that we had, probably am going to go that direction. John Thurston was elected in 2018. He was reelected in 2022. I've got to tell you, he's supposedly a good Christian man and everything.
Right, yeah.
I'm not going to trash talk anybody. He's a certified minister, has worked in the state prisons, worked at a local church here that I know of, and so he's probably a pretty good guy, but he also has had some controversies in office.
Sure.
2018, he bought a $30,000 18-foot War Eagle boat to remove debris out of our state waterways when he was serving as land commissioner. Problem of it is, the trash was a sunken barge, okay?
Huh, yeah.
Now, Randy, somewhere...
How much was it?
$30,000. Now, I've got to tell you, somewhere you bought a War Eagle somewhere close to that time frame, didn't you?
Yeah.
Did he get you one, too?
No. Mine wasn't 30. It was more in the 40 range.
I wanted,
but it wasn't a War Eagle. It was.
Oh, okay.
He went and got a used one, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that's
what he got us. Yeah.
So, I'm not saying whether he's guilty, not guilty, or anything, but here's what I can tell you. Anybody that's in charge of the state financial officer, he's in charge of managing and investing all of our funds, distributing the funds. Mm-hmm. I want someone in there. And I think that Michael has the background
100%.
To really do the job. And I'll be honest with you, I believe my mantra is term limits, term limits, term limits.
Thank you. Yeah.
John, you've had two terms, like I say, you know, get it done or get out. All right. So I'm going to tell you folks right now, Michael, you're going to get my vote.
You should have him on. He's incredibly intelligent.
We'd love to.
And again, it's an interesting office. And I think any of those three gentlemen running would probably make a fine treasurer, to be quite honest. But again, you talked about it. We have billions that flow through the state coffers. You really kind of want somebody independent, I think, to oversee that.
Uh-huh.
Someone not aligned with the two parties.
Right.
And again, a PhD in economics, worked for the Federal Reserve for 15 years. And oh, by the way, he's considered the expert on the Arkansas economy. He is the director of the Arkansas Policy Economic Institute. I mean, like, he's got the resume. If we were hiring for a job, if whatever the job was,
right,
this guy's got these credentials.
Okay.
So, I mean, I'm with you on that one. Yeah.
Well, Michael, you're going to get my vote. But here's what I'm going to tell you. You get two terms.
Yep.
If we don't put term limits in, I'm going to term limit you anyway. Randy, you got anything to say?
Nope. Keep going.
Jump in, man.
I know.
Come on. All right. Okay.
You're doing good.
U.S. Congress. Congressman French Hill versus Marcus A. Jones. I'm going to go with French Hill on this because I just cannot bring myself to vote for a Democrat. And here's the only thing that I'll say. I found this very interesting. French Hill has raised $2.8 million for this race.
Yep.
He has spent $1.4 million.
Right.
As of August the 20th of 24. Now, Marcus raised $205,000, and he spent $148,000.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's looking at this too seriously.
It's just, again, I mean, the chances of him winning are very low.
Yeah.
And French and I have a unique relationship because I debated French. And so, we've had a professional argument before. Look, I think that French means well. I really do. He's a super nice guy. I think he's very principled, to be quite honest. Look, these U.S. congressmen are in really hard positions. They're part of a system that, let's face it, is kind of on the downhill slope. And there's not really any one person that can yank the yoke back up, right? It's going to require 280 people in the House and another 60 or 70 in the Senate. And so I think at this point in time, the best we can hope for is somebody that's just trying to make sure of like that all that, as much of that printed money that's happening is coming back to Central Arkansas. And that's kind of what you got. So, yeah.
And while I completely agree with that,
right.
Okay, my only thought is, what are you doing to change it?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. It's like Randy and I have talked. The Republicans has had the House now for 2-3 years.
Mm, yep.
What have they done to give us any kind of election reform, straighten things up, clean things up? All they've done is kiss Biden's butt and spend our money and send it overseas. I'll try to stay focused.
I want to say
that was last show.
The past 22 years we had a unified government where the Republicans held the House, the Senate, and the presidency. I want to say maybe 9 of those years.
Right.
And none of the things that were ever promised ever happened. Right. Again, I think that it's like they only allow like the secret they only allow like one or two really principled people in there. You know, like this is kind of what you get, this uniparty sort of thing that goes on. Yeah.
Well, here's what I can.
This is why local gut politics and nullification is so important.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to vote. Those of you that are keeping track, make your own little notes here. But Larry is voting for French Hill. I don't know what you guys are voting, but you jump in anytime you want. Okay. Here's another one. State Supreme Court Chief Justice position 1. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's down between Karen Baker and Rhonda Wood. I can tell you that I've looked over. Rhonda Wood was the only one. Karen didn't send anything in to the voter's guide. And so I don't know much about her. And honestly, I Googled her and can't even find her.
Interesting.
I swear to God, I cannot find one thing. I guess she exists, but I'm not for sure. But I can tell you that Rhonda, she worked with Asa Hutchinson. She has had pictures with Sarah Sanders Huckabee. I think she is a conservative. So based on what I can find out about her and the nothing that I can find on about Karen, Rhonda, you're going to get my
Rhonda's
vote.
Rhonda's
got it. Okay. Here's one. Antoine Phillips is running for Little Rock Board of Directors.
Nine.
Nine.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Against Jordan Thomas.
Jordan Thomas all day. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, Jordan Thomas all day. I've had the pleasure of meeting him in person.
Okay.
I have one of his signs in my yard.
All right.
Jordan is a great guy.
Okay.
Family oriented. He brings a sort of very high energy to things. I think a new perspective that we desperately need in Little Rock City government. We don't need yes men to Mayor Frank. We need people that are challenging some of those positions, and he would do a great job at it.
He moved to Little Rock in 2016. Mm-hmm. His background is in agricultural.
Yep.
He's endorsed by the Little Rock Fraternal Order of Police. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
So he has some good stuff there. Antoine, basically, his answers to all of the stuff and the things that I could find out about him was that he's in the mayor's hip pocket, and he wants the tax increase, which we're going to talk about here in just a little bit.
Right. Yeah.
And again, I've never met a tax that I like, so same. Get ready for that one. Jordan Thomas is an independent. You've got my vote, okay? Joan Adcock against Blake Tierney, I guess. Mm-hmm. Little Rock Board of Directors at number 10, right, at yep. large. Mm-hmm. Okay, here's what I can tell you. I'm not voting for Blake. I think he is a flaming liberal. Even though Joan has been in office for 32 years.
It's a long time.
Now, folks, I'm telling you, I am so sick and tired of career politicians.
Mr. Term Limits over here.
Yeah. That's right.
That's right.
And I hate to vote for her because I think there should be a better candidate. Someone needs to step up before she gets elected again.
That's a long time.
32 yeah. years. That's ridiculous, folks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm not going to vote for Blake because he is extremely liberal. I think that he would be right in the mayor's back pocket along with Antoine.
Interesting.
I think that they're real close together.
Okay.
Feel free to disagree.
You know, I don't know a lot about the Joan Adcock-Blake race.
Okay.
I just haven't, you know, again, I might be running my own campaign, so there yeah. may be some things I don't know about.
There you go.
Okay. But yeah, that's interesting to know.
Okay. Well, so that is what I'm going to say there. Then the last one is Justice of the Peace, District 1. You have Rebecca Davis, who's a Republican, running against Diana Thomas. And again, Diana is a ghost. I could not find anything on her. Mm-hmm. I can't find her on social media.
Yep.
I can't Google her and find her. She didn't send anything back for the voters to talk mm-hmm. about. The one thing that I can tell you is Rebecca Davis, she knows a lot of people that I used to go to church with. And honestly, they're people that I trust.
Mm.
If they're, of course, they're only friends on Facebook and social media and things. So
sure.
who knows what really, if they have a relationship. I started to call a few of them, but I thought, well, I'll leave that one alone. I can tell you that she hosted the Americans for Prosperity in Arkansas at the Parkway Place Church. Hmm. Used to be Parkway Place Baptist
yeah,
Church.
Right.
She hosted them. Her campaign sign says the conservative one.
Okay, that's pretty good. Cool.
That speaks volumes
there
to me.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
She is the incumbent. She was elected in 2023. Well, Rebecca, you've got my vote, and so I'm going to vote that direction. We have three issues on the ballot, okay? Let me see if I can cover at least one or two of them, okay, before we go to another commercial break. Arkansas ballot issues in the general election. Issue number one is allowing state lottery proceeds to fund scholarships at the private and public vocational technical schools and technical institutes. Folks, I've read
this. It's a no-brainer.
Yeah. I've read this thing back and forth. College and universities is not for everyone.
That's correct.
Can we all agree to that?
100%.
Yeah. I didn't go.
Yeah.
I went to VOTEC.
I left. Yeah. Yeah.
I spent $100,000 on my son becoming a pastry chef.
Really?
Yeah.
Those are some really good pastries, though.
And yeah, they are.
They yeah. got to be damn
But you know what? But you know what? He came out of that $100,000 education and went to work at one of the largest hotels here in Little Rock
okay.
for $10 an hour.
No, we need to. I still need to try one of those pastries. Yeah, though. I really want to try one. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'll go on.
Yeah,
I'll
it's a no-brainer. Okay. Again, issue one, I think, originated in the legislature. It was an act that came from the legislature. Yep.
And all they're trying to do here, folks, it's a very simple thing. Mm-hmm. You need to vote. Excuse me. I am voting for it. I'm not going to tell you how to vote. I apologize. I am voting for it because all they're wanting to do, the current law is that you have to go to a 2 or 4 year college or university to get these scholarships. Mm-hmm. The only thing they're changing is that they want to include private and public VOTEC schools and technical institutes.
100%.
Good.
Yeah. I mean, that's how simple it really is.
Yeah.
So I'm voting for that because, again, college just isn't for everybody.
Right. No, and in fact, it's. I mean, for probably the vast majority of Arkansans, it's not for.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Let me do one more, Randy, and then we'll go to commercial, okay? Because this is one I think we can wrap up pretty
good.
Famous issue two about the casino.
I want to hear your point on this, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Because I've heard a billion different views on it, yeah.
Well, I'm going to try to give it down to a nutshell here, okay, if I possibly can. I am voting no. I am voting against this because it leaves Arkansas in control of the casinos. Now, I'm not a big casino fan, okay? I've gone to a few casinos. I take a $100 bill out of my wallet, put it in my front pocket. If it lasts me 5 minutes, I'm good.
Okay.
If it lasts me 5 hours,
there you go.
I'm good.
Wow.
But I work too hard for my money,
yeah,
and I keep it safe, okay? I am not going to go throw it away. So I am not one of these that goes and throws money in a casino. I know that casinos hurt the crime rates. They certainly up the divorce rates.
Sure.
Okay. There's a lot of bad about casinos, but here's what I'm going to tell you. I'm voting no. I'm voting against issue two because what this really is back some years ago, we voted to put a new casino in Pope County.
2018, right?
2018. There you go.
Yep.
Now, what this really does is you have the Choctaw Nation that has a casino right across our line in Oklahoma. They're the ones that are driving this, and they are fighting the Cherokee Nation.
Yeah. Indian Wars 2.0.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you have here.
Cowboys and Indians,
yeah,
okay? Right. But yeah, we're Indians and Indians
two,
here. Yeah,
two Indian tribes.
Okay, so you got the Choctaw tribe that's fighting against the Cherokee tribe, which my dad was part Cherokee. And I don't get a dang penny
you
got, for it.
You don't have the card or anything? Yeah.
No, I don't get nothing.
Well, I mean, if Elizabeth
Warren
yeah, your wife, though, yeah. Your wife, though, is part what now?
She's part Quapaw.
Yeah, that's okay. In Pine Bluff.
Yeah, she's got the one in Pine Bluff. I'm like, thanks to God,
they take
baby.
Care of that.
Yeah.
There you go.
I don't want to offend anybody in Pine Bluff, but I'll leave it
heaven
there.
On earth.
Yeah. So all they're wanting to do is they are afraid that what happens is we open up the casino in Arkansas and it's going to take a lot of their money. Our people's going to quit crossing the line to go to their casino.
Mm. Yep.
So I'm voting absolutely no against issue number two. Mm. And that's my reason why. Again, it's very simple.
Yeah.
Anybody got anything to add?
Well, the only reason I am going to vote no on
okay.
that
all right.
is because all I saw was advertisements for voting yes. And
right.
I said, somebody is behind this.
There's a ton of out-of-state money.
Yes,
yeah.
And funneling all this money. I said, it's got to be corrupt.
I think it's going to be a very tight vote because, I mean, also, you know, the positive side of it is, of course, the more local you can get control, I'm glad, I'm good with. I don't like that we're redoing a 2018 vote. I think that that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
On principle, I don't typically ever vote for anything that's out of state money. I just,
right.
something I have to live under. But I can see why some people might vote yes for it. When I'm asked, I'm like, you just vote however you want to. Like, it's not my opinion, thumbs up, thumbs down. It's probably not going to change it anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I will tell you that I had a friend, you know, we've been warned before, but I had a friend. I called him about his opinion because I felt like he would really be in the know. And he told me, he said, Larry, don't touch that on your podcast.
Oh, really?
Oh, he said, I'm telling you, there's some really mean people behind this whole thing. Don't touch it. Well, you know me.
Yeah. Go ahead. We're going to touch it all day long.
He said, stick him to the dog. So here I come. I'm on the bone.
Up next to it. And yeah. We'll go in the casino.
I am growling it. All right, let's go get me out of here for a commercial break, right. And then we'll come
back.
Bobby's Country Cooking. It's like Sunday after church at Grandma's, except it's Monday through Friday, 10:30 to 2. Homestyle cooking with generous portions, entrees, sides, and desserts to die for. Dine in or get it to go. We're in the West Chase Plaza at the corner of Shackelford and Markham. Bobby's Country Cooking.
Okay, folks, we are back, and here is issue number 3 that us Arkansans have to vote on, okay? And it is entitled Expanding the Arkansas Medical Marijuana Program. I can just tell you up front, I have never voted for any of this issue. I'm totally and completely against it. And the word expanding it only tells me I want to vote no once again. Okay. So I'm voting no. But here's what I need to do is give you some information on why I'm voting no. It is going to make, I noted about seven changes here. Okay. If you vote for this, it's going to change the types of healthcare professionals who can certify patients for the program. Okay? So it's not going to be just doctors.
That's right, yeah.
It's going to be, what's Donna?
Nurse practitioner.
Nurse practitioner.
Pharmacist, even, I think.
Pharmacist, yes. Mm-hmm.
That kind of makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Nurse practitioners, pharmacists, physician's assistants.
Huh. Yeah.
Will now qualify, okay? So that's going to change, all right? And I'm going to give you some numbers here in just a minute. It also will allow patients to grow their own marijuana at home. Now, folks, if marijuana is such a wonderful thing for medical purposes, all right, and I say that with all the sarcasm that I can muster up, I am totally against expanding this program. Because if it's medical, then why don't you have to go to a doctor and why don't you have a prescription and why isn't all of this in a pharmacy? You name me another drug that you can go get for medical reasons other than marijuana. I can tell you one reason why we put marijuana on the ballot and we the people said yes to it. That's because government wanted it,
right.
Because they wanted the tax dollars.
Right.
Randy?
Sure. Yeah.
Say it.
Yeah.
And follow the money.
That's it.
Let's remember, if you and I opened up a casino in your garage, that's illegal, right?
Uh-huh.
If you and I started just selling marijuana out in the street, that's illegal.
Yeah.
Government doesn't like competition.
No.
Yeah. That's what it is. It's not about like what's right or wrong.
That's
it's like
right.
We want to control it. So
yeah
there's a cartel and it's the state government and here we are just expanding it. Yeah.
Right. So they're going to change the types of people that the caregivers that can do it, mm-hmm. And then they're going to allow people to grow it at home. Who's going to manage that? Who's going to go in and check all of that? You're only supposed to have so many. What do you call them? Plants. And who's going to do all that? And who's going to pay for it? Yep. Us, the taxpayer.
Yep.
My gosh, we're going to have marijuana police. Then they're going to change on who qualifies for the program. Mm-hmm. They're going to. Okay, that's three of them. Go ahead.
Also, and there are poison pill also in this one about some prescriptive language as well on one of the changes. Is that correct? Also on this.
Tell me what you're thinking it is, and maybe I can't
remember exactly. I looked at it yesterday. It seems like there's a language initiative. Or there's a place on it real quick. I want to say, where is it at? There's something too about some language that would happen with future changes with it that was included in there that might do some constitutional changes as well.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yes, I believe you're right. I do remember something about the Constitution.
You know, Larry, what's interesting about this one is I was talking to a pastor in Polk County, Arkansas.
Okay.
And we were talking. This is back when the recreational amendment was coming up. And as a libertarian, you'd think that I'd be voting for that, and I was all for it. And I was against it. And he asked me why I was, and I told him that I thought there was a big difference between sort of personal liberty and creating a market for something. And he said, well, I kind of agree with that. Like, you know, I don't really want dispensaries in my community, and the members of my congregation don't, and most people here don't want one. And I said, well, you know, we have a right to community standards, I feel like. I think that we have a shared obligation to do that. And so I said, well, you know, would you be okay with an expanded medical program? He said, well, you know, I'd have to think about that one. And I think, to be honest, we know that the term medical is a cheap term. It's not real medical. Like, this is about, like, getting it under the radar as recreational, right? And so this might end up being the best compromise that kind of comes up. I don't, again, I don't know if it'll pass. It's the word on the street's a little bit different than when the first medical one seemed to come up. It seemed like that one was a little bit more popular than this one is. Yeah.
The fourth thing that it will change is the law will shield foreign drug cartels who want to move into Arkansas communities and neighborhoods to grow and process marijuana so it can be illegally shipped across the nation as they are currently doing in Oklahoma.
Right. Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, everybody wants gun control. Okay. The reason, we don't, obviously.
Not at all.
Everybody shouts for gun control. Mm-hmm. But the reason that we have marijuana legalized is because the government said we can't control it. So since we can't control it, let's take it out of the back alley. We'll call it medical, and look at all the tax money that we'll get.
Yeah.
And their greed kicked in, and that's why we have it.
I mean, you know, the libertarian argument has always been against the cartels is that you would just undercut their prices if you had a legal market, right?
Yeah.
So they tacked on so much taxes that black market marijuana is still more affordable. And so the black market continues.
Yeah. Mm.
So government got greedy, and it did the opposite effect of what it was supposed to do.
Yeah.
Go figure.
Well.
Right? I mean, that's exactly correct.
You know, you get government in it, they'll screw it up every time.
Every time, yeah.
The fifth thing that it will change is the passage of the amendment will hurt children. It removes Arkansas restrictions on marijuana advertising, making it possible for children to see marijuana ads on TV, online, and on their cell phones. They will be removing childproof packaging requirements and allowing harmful levels of THC to be infused into candy that is appealing to children. Mm-hmm. Now, we can't have a Tide pod.
They got to be locked up. Yeah.
Lock them up. We're preached about that, but yet we're going to do something stupid like this. They're providing taxpayer-funded marijuana cards for out-of-state people free of charge. If this passes, they will have one free of charge, and so they'll be able to get it. Now, let's look over here. I made a ton of notes here. Oh, it is a $50 application fee.
Okay.
All right.
Yep.
So everybody that wants a medical card pays $50. Mm-hmm. For now, it is good for 3 years. However, number seven change is that it's going, that's number seven. They're going to expand that by 2 years.
Okay.
Okay. So you get a 5-year card. All right. Everybody talks about, well, you know, Larry, you know, I've got a loved one. Mm-hmm. They're in all this pain. And folks, I'm not trying to be hard-hearted here. Okay. Mm-hmm. So let me be careful. My father passed away 10 or 12 years ago with kidney cancer.
Yeah.
He was in a lot of pain. Never once did he or I or any member of our family want to run out and buy a joint, say, here, Pop, smoke it. We went through the medical resources that we had and got him all the pain meds and everything to take care of it. Cancer in Arkansas has 5,883 people that have the card. Mm-hmm. That's 2.9% of the people that have the card, okay? Now, here's what I can also tell you. There's 38 dispensaries in Arkansas, mm-hmm. 4 dispensaries in Little Rock, mm-hmm. all right? Our 2024 population in the state of Arkansas was 3,011,524. Mm-hmm. Then in the state of Arkansas, there are, 19,000, I've lost my mind, 97,374 active medical marijuana cards.
That's right, yeah.
Now, if you do the math, and feel free to check me, okay?
It's a great business to be in. Yeah.
That is 3.2% have marijuana cards of our population.
Right.
Now, folks, we're also counting children in that population.
For 28 dispensaries.
Yeah.
Or 32 dispensaries.
Yeah.
So, and think about the corruption that enters when you create these sort of cartel events.
Wow.
So when the ABC was coming out with all this, I mean, think about how well connected you have to be to get one of these and how protected they are. I mean, it's the same thing with the gaming industry and everything else. It's you're trading sort of one moral hazard for another, aren't you?
Well, 2023 was the largest year in the Arkansas history of medical marijuana sales. Mm-hmm. In 2023, they did $283 million in sales. That represents 62,277 pounds of product that is sold. Mm-hmm. Okay. They said that in the year of 2023, in December alone, they added $25.6 million. That's a little over 6,100 pounds of marijuana. Okay. The state revenue for medical marijuana sales were $31 million. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, they pay a 6.5% sales tax plus a 4% privilege tax, mm-hmm. okay, on marijuana. Mm-hmm. Now, guys, if you'll remember, and I believe that Asa was still our governor back then. Remember when we were told Arkansas has a glut of tax money? Mm-hmm. My first thought was, well, of course it does. We're getting all the sales off of that marijuana.
Yep, sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, but did our tax rates go down? No.
No. Mm-hmm.
Has our highways gone down? Have they done anything with all that glut of money?
No.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Have you driven on our highways?
Oh.
Huh?
And, that's a good point. Where's the revenue neutrality sale for us, right?
Yeah.
It's always, we're going to have more money, we're going to do more stuff, but our net tax bill continues to rise, right?
Yeah.
We haven't seen anything go down. I'm with you. Yeah.
Yeah. Here's a number that I like to look at numbers here. It says that since this started, that the marijuana sales in the state of Arkansas has surpassed $1 billion.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. $1 billion. You want to know why we've got it? That's why, folks. We've got four of these dispensaries in Little Rock. Now, here's what I can also say. You give somebody the old saying, you give them an inch, they take a mile.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How long will it be before we go from marijuana for medical reasons to recreational reasons?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, you give these people an inch,
right,
and here they go. Now, the sad part of it is, according to a Gallup survey, a record number, 7 in 10 respondents said mm-hmm. that they support legalization of marijuana in the United States. And for 3 years, mm-hmm. that's been holding true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, I will tell you that Missouri, that Arkansas is now raising a fuss because up in Knoll, Missouri, Pineville, Missouri, you know, I was raised up around Joplin, Missouri. Okay. And so that's kind of my old stomping ground up in there.
Okay.
Okay. I know exactly where those places are. Those are so close. In fact, Pineville, the city line and the state line of Arkansas, it's just right mm-hmm. there. It's parallel. Yeah. Okay. Same thing. Now they're afraid that they're moving that dispensary to there, and they're afraid that Arkansans are going to run over there and get it. And, you know, so they're all fighting for it. Why are they fighting for it? Because of the money.
Sure,
money.
Absolutely.
It is absolutely the money.
All of the money.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I've never seen anything about marijuana that I'm going to vote on, that I'm going to vote for. I can tell you it's an absolute no. It's absolutely no for me. And so here's the question that will lead me into the next thing that I got to talk to you about. Oh, and I don't even have time to talk to you about 8 arrested in the Arkansas dispensary in West Helena.
Mm.
8 people, because they were actually selling things to people with inactive cards and people that were using dead people's cards.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Eight people.
Yeah. State doesn't like that competition.
And, and one of them went on to be a police officer in West Helena.
Sure, sure.
And the chief said, whoops, I didn't have any idea. So he fired him.
Yeah.
Okay. So I can't even cover that, but here's what I can say. I told you that we had, what, four dispensaries here in Little Rock? All right. So that leads me to my next thought. Okay. As a businessman, I take a look at, there's about 11% sales tax.
Yep.
Now, if we're talking about over $1 billion in the state of Arkansas, marijuana sales, four dispensaries out of, what did I say, how many?
I think 32 or 28. Yeah,
Yeah, something like that. Okay.
$100 million is probably your gross sales for those four.
And okay.
11% of it is you're looking at, what, $11 million.
Good gosh, I'm going to vote for this guy. Listen to him rattle those numbers. So, hey, Frank, Mayor Frank.
He ain't got enough money.
You ain't got enough money with that? Where's that money going?
I don't know.
Why don't we have enough money with all these marijuana sales? Why do you need a 1 cent sales tax? You know, what is this, the third or fourth time that Frank, Mayor Frank, has ran this up? Yep. Every election, the man, all he wants to do is raise tax. And folks, I've never met a tax. I'm just going to tell you, I've never met a tax. And oh, you can read this stuff like on these mail outs and everything. Oh, it sounds so fluffy. We're going to get new roads. We're going to get new police cars. We're going to get one of those real time things. I don't know if you guys ever watched these cop shows where they had the real time thing. And, you know, there's 100 different television monitors hooked up to all the cameras around town and everything. You can even give them access to come into your business on your business.
Right.
They can see inside your building and everything. You can give them complete access to
it. Or your Ring doorbell camera from a residence.
Yeah.
You can give them access to that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
surveillance nation.
If you go and want to steal something and take off, they'll follow you all over town.
All over
they'll
town.
Pull you over. Well, that sounds real good and fluffy. I found out today we've already got one of those in Arkansas, in Little Rock.
You know, I was about to say, I feel like I've gotten a lot of promises from government over the past, you know, several decades of my life. And it seems like they never seem to deliver on what they promised me they're going to. Yeah.
Now, I'm going to be careful here, but there's two police officers that I've talked to. And I said, hey, boys, I said, all these sales on marijuana sales, okay, all these taxes. How much has that been coming to y'all? We have no comment. I'm like, I ain't got a hidden camera. I'm not recording my podcast. But folks, you know, they want to do all this fluffy stuff. Homelessness and affordable housing challenges. They want $30 million. Here is an Excel spreadsheet. I got it off the internet. You guys can go download it. Okay. They're wanting to spend $2 million on homeless people.
Yep.
Per year. $30 million is in this budget. And they say, oh, well, now it's 5/8 of a cent, and it will go away in 10 years. Okay? It ain't going to go away.
No.
They're going to, they're in 10 years, trust me, we're going to have a new one.
There'll be another one.
Yeah, that's right. Well,
and again, you know, what's so interesting is there's always this argument about, you know, funding of government and what's the least coercive mechanism to do so. And if you remember, there was the fair tax that was proposed, and I think in the 2022 U.S. federal session, which was would replace the income tax code, repeal the 16th Amendment, and it would replace it with a national consumption tax.
Yeah.
And then there was a prebate that was issued to everyone who was below the poverty line.
Right.
If you ask me which one I had to have, whether I had to have the U.S. income tax or I had that, I'd take the consumption tax any day.
Yeah.
I don't got to spend 5 days figuring out what my consumption tax bill is going to be in the middle of April.
That's right.
Right.
If you want to go buy a $40,000 boat, you're going to pay the taxes on it.
Right.
Right.
And if we put enough money in your pocket, you're going to want one.
That's right. Yeah. And it was only going to be for new items, so it was like going to help the green economy. Yeah. It had all the good sales parts. And the Democrat line was that sales taxes and consumption taxes are regressive, and they're bad for poor people, and we can't have any. And they'll turn around and say, but we need to raise sales taxes in Little Rock.
Yeah.
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 Exactly.
Okay, folks, I'm going to wrap the show up, but I've got to get to this because it is truly on my heart, okay? I actually attend church online. I am a I attend church at James River in Ozark, Missouri.
Wow.
Pastor John Lindell, and he is a phenomenal man, and he preached a sermon about abortion. And if you'll go to YouTube, look up James River Church or look under John Lindell, but if you'll go to YouTube, James River Church, you'll see a message there. You'll see a sermon, and it's entitled A Biblical View of Abortion and Amendment 3. folks in Missouri, and I got plenty of friends and family in Missouri, and you need to pay attention to this because this is a very radical bill. And I can't go into everything. If you'll just listen to the sermon, that's all I'm asking you to do. Listen to the sermon, and here's a pastor that has guts enough to get up in a pulpit and actually speak. And I can tell you this, I don't know how large the church really is, but there's hundreds of thousands of people that watch him on YouTube live, just like I do, wow, every Sunday morning. Okay? Wow. So here's what it is. It's going to undo 60 current Missouri laws. It's radical. I will tell you that in 51 years since we've legalized abortions, there's over 61 million abortions. Now, that's what I call mass murder. Mm. It's going to cover gender reassessment, assignment. Gender reassignment. It's going to cover partial birth abortion. It is going to take away parental approval for that. Anyone can do, and he's going to share all of this with you in this sermon. And it's going to take away, you do not have to have a medical degree in order to do an abortion. Mm. This is going to put the state of Missouri in the same place that California, New York, and Minnesota, where Tampon Tim, okay, is running around, okay, it's going to put you into that same category. You people from Missouri, all of my family and friends, you need to go listen to this message. And here's how I'm going to wrap this up. According to the 2020 U.S. Census data, as many as one in four eligible Americans are not registered to vote. Can you believe that, guys?
Yeah, I can.
Yeah.
And other sources tell us that over 25 million Christians who are registered don't vote in the presidential elections. Shame on you. And here's what I'll say. We're all going to stand before God one day, and I'm not going to be one that has to answer to that. Because there's plenty of stuff out here you need to go vote for, and you need to vote against, and you need to start holding office to change this country and turn it around from our evil, wicked ways. Please go listen to this message. Missouri, please don't jump into the same shape as some of these other states. Do your homework. See how radical this bill is. Guys, yeah, thank you for being on the show. Michael, thank you for being
thank
here.
Thank you for having me.
And
it's
trust
been wonderful.
Me, we will have you back.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right. Folks, we'll see you next week.
Take care.
The part is over, and tomorrow starts the same old thing again. And tomorrow starts the same old thing.